is prayer.
But nothing over there, Gordon. You've probably noticed that we're using the arms. He's saying I need the lollipop.
So, yeah. We've got the lollipop. So, because the other packs are all dead at the moment. We have some on order, so we will back to normal service at some stage. Prayer. It's easy, isn't it, prayer? I've actually got notes. Well, sort of. Maybe. Prayer's easy? Everybody find it fine? It's okay, just sit and chat to God? That was a great chorus there. Okay. So it's not easy, is it? It's not one of those simple things. Excuse me a minute. I'm here for the long haul. Am I in trouble for that? No, it's still working. Okay. So prayer is a tough subject, isn't it? It's tough because, is it the way we do it? Is it because we don't know what to say to the living God? Is it because we don't know what words to use? And I chose this reading because it's Jesus using words, which is, I guess, kind of the best example. What nobody really cares about is the words that I use or the words that each other use. But yes, we do. Jesus, when he was praying there, let's just pick up some of the things that he said, because that's the sum total. Oh, there it is. Anguish was one of the words that he had. He prayed in anguish. He actually sort of, it was full of emotion. So when we pray, do we actually pray with emotion, or do we just sort of trot out a bunch of words and that's it? Is it prayers that come from a sheet of paper, or is it prayers that come from somewhere deep down inside? Because they are brought to our mouth by God. And God has caused these things to come to our hearts and minds, so we lay them before him. And then as we lay them before him, do we expect to change God's mind by our eloquent and brilliant prayers? Is that why we're doing it? Because if anybody thinks that's why they're doing it, I'm sorry to disabuse you, but you are not going to change God's mind. God will use our prayers to change our minds, to change our hearts, so that we then pray into and be part of his will. This is what Jesus was doing. He didn't say to Jesus, "Take this cup from me," so that he was going to change God's mind. And Jesus actually even knew that anyway. But he still did not want to go through with this. He still did not want to go on the cross. Why would he want to do that as a thing of fun to do? He was going to be separated from the Father for the first time. That's a strange word to use with it. Outside of time. So for the first time in all of eternity, he will be separated from the Father. Would he want that? Absolutely not. And yet, he asks God, the Father, to take this cup away from me, please. I do not want to go through this. Because he knew the cost. He knew the pain that he was going to go through. He knew the trouble that was just about to befall him. And the Son of God asks the Father to take it away. And what happens? Actually, Jesus carries on talking, and he says, "But not my will, let it be your will." And there is the key issue in prayer. It's not us trying to change God's mind. It's God underlining what we should be doing. It's God pointing it out to us. It's God changing our hearts. And prayer is really a tough thing to get on with. Because there are situations, and I look around here, there are situations in people's lives that they would love to change. sitting in this congregation. There are people who have, as Paul would call it, the thorn in my side. And as Paul would say it, please take this away from me. Please change my life and take this thing that's bugging me away. And God politely says, get on with it. And so often that is the case. And in so doing, we actually have to learn from God. We have to be obedient and understand that actually what we're doing is what he wants us to do. And share with you, a friend of ours died this year. His name was Steve. And he was a really, really good guy. A very, very nice man. One of the best people that I've ever met. One of the most faithful people that I've ever met. He was the church secretary at the last church where I was at. And fit, healthy guy, absolutely no problem. And all of a sudden, he was getting some pain, so he got into his car with his pains and he drove to the hospital. And the hospital said, how'd you get here? And he went, I drove. And they went, that's the end of that then. You're not doing that anymore. And in a very short space of time, not only did he not drive, he did not walk. He did not get up again. He was confined to his bed. They had to have a hoist in the house. They had to do all sorts of things. And he was struck down. And he smiled. And he was a man that said, okay, I've prayed about this one. I've laid it before God. And it's very, very tempting to say, hey, God, I am a good guy. I have served you all my life. Why me? How many of us actually sometimes say that sort of prayer? Because it's not unreasonable. Let's be fair about it. It's quite a reasonable thing to say. Lord, I've worked my socks off. I come every Sunday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and I give generously, God. You know that. So why me? And God smiles, I think. He smiles because he says, I love you. Because that's what this passage is about. This is about the love of God. It's Jesus saying to God, I don't want to do this. And God's saying, but we love the people so much. This is the only way, the absolute only way that these people can get into heaven. So I'm afraid you've got to go through with it. And that's the message that Steve got as well. You've got to go through with it. And in spite of having had people to come in and wash him and clean him and do all the things that you would rather not have somebody else do for you, he smiled and he got on with it. And he witnessed to every nurse, to every doctor, to every carer, to every hospital visitor who came in and met him and made a difference. Strangely, there was a guy in our church there who also watched this happen. His name was Peter. And Peter was very angry with God that this should happen to Steve, who was such a good guy. He was so angry with God that he didn't come to the church again. Which is a crying shame, because I'm taking his funeral in just over a week's time. But you see how it affects some people. Steve, who it was happening to, was content to be obedient to the will of God. Peter, to whom it was not happening, was not content to be obedient to the will of God and ended up bitter, cross, cantankerous, I think, is one of the words that I will use when I take the funeral. And it's a shame and it's a waste and It's a loss. It's a loss of life, not in the physical sense, but in the deep sense that their lives were not rich and flowing over, which is what the living God wants for each and every one of us here. But how do we get that life which is real life and overflowing and full and real and fulfilling? We have to talk to God. How did Jesus talk to God? He poured out himself. He poured out emotion. He poured out the real issues in his heart. He didn't necessarily have to dress it up in fancy words and big words and make them eloquent. It's nothing to do with being very clever with speech. It's to do with being real with God. It's to do with reaching out and touching the living God. We've just sung, what a beautiful name. We have sung, what a powerful name. We actually have to believe that fact. We have to grab hold of that fact as a reality in our lives. When we pray, it's not just a bunch of polite words to God. It's a reality. And that ingredient that we need is belief. Not that God will suddenly wave a magic wand and heal us, but that God will reveal himself to us. God will show us maybe the why that we are suffering. Sometimes we have written prayers and sometimes we don't. At Steve's funeral, there was a prayer. I'd almost forgotten this. And I don't usually like written prayers, personally. You know I don't actually like writing anything down. But sometimes you find something that expresses what you need to say in such a succinct and brilliant manner. Why would you not use it? So there is a place for the written prayer. So at Steve's funeral, this was the prayer that was given out. So it's not my prayer in the sense that I made it up. I claim nothing towards this apart from the fact that it moved my heart, that it moved my soul, that it touched me deep down. Lord, there are times when I have to ask, what? There are times when your love is not easy to spot. What is life's purpose and what of me here? Grant me some answers, Lord, and make your will clear. How often do we say that, make your will clear? Because we do like clarity. I like clarity. Lord, there are times when I have to ask, why? Times when catastrophe gives faith the lie. Innocents suffer and evil holds sway. Grant me some answers, Lord, and teach me your way. Because we look around and we say, why are their children suffering? Why are children in hospital? Why are the elderly disadvantaged? Why? Why is Syria such a mess? Basically, it's man's fault anyway. So we shouldn't be surprised at that. But what God's asking us to do is to trust in him. He's asking us to always pray to him, to rest in him. The prayer goes on. Lord, there are times when the questions run fast, times when I fear that my faith may not last. Help me, support me, Lord. Help me get through. Lead me through darkness till light shines through. A written prayer. Quite useful at times. And sometimes it matters the way we read our prayers, the way we feel our prayers, the way we express our prayers. No, not sometimes. It's every time, isn't it? There is no time when it doesn't matter. Prayers are not things when we talk to the living God that they just sort of roll off our tongue glibly and simply and we walk away feeling virtually nothing. The Son of God in that passage fell down face on the floor. Please don't tell me he didn't feel anything. His soul was filled with anguish. And he looks around and he gets back to his friends. And what are they doing? They're snoring away. He's let down. He's not surprised, though. Because the emotion that's involved, that he's pouring out, that they are so near to, must be exhausting. So his prayer, a time just before sleep so that we can nod off quickly afterwards. No. Prayer is a very specific thing that we do, that we put effort into. The whole idea of just praying is not true. Prayer is real. It's reaching out and touching the living God. It's reaching out and holding his hand and trying to find what he wants us to do so that he leads the way. Oh yes, we're all pretty clever here. We can do all sorts of things. The annex is just one of those little things that we'll just do. Actually, no, we won't just do it. We cannot do this on our own. And when we look around at the problems that sit, we cannot solve them on our own. We actually need the living God. We've sung about his power. We've sung his praises. We've enjoyed those songs, and I certainly did. And it puts a smile on my face when I see the excellence of our God and can sing about it like that. That's probably not so much of a smile for anybody who actually listens to me, because it's not that good. But the fact is that the living God is there, and we need to just believe it. We need to grab hold of it. We need to take it for our own as a fact of life, not an interesting theological nicety that sits up somewhere in the ether and is theoretically good, because we all know that. If I said to everybody, do you believe in prayer? I'm going to get 100% of yeah. Of course we do. But the real question is, do you believe in prayer with a passion, with some guts there? That's the real question. Not, do you believe it? Yeah, because it's fine. Because it's all written down in here. It's fine. I got it. Because this is something that is bigger and deeper. And when we pray, we have to remind ourselves who we are praying to. We are talking with the living God. We are talking with the person who has reached out, seen that we are lost. I don't know, we'll use a bigger word than that. Seen that we are dead in sins. We cannot do anything about it. There is no way we can change a state of death ourselves. And he is the person that does it. And he does it through Jesus Christ. So without this God, without Jesus Christ, we are lost. If you wanted a reason to pray and to say thank you, there it is. There's plenty of other reasons too, but that's the big one. And from that reason can flow all sorts of prayers. And we have to, as we come to pray, we have to acknowledge that God is who he is. Not a theological nicety in that big book over there, but the living God who cares for each and every one of us individually. That's incredible. That is totally amazing. But we have to acknowledge that when we approach him, when we say that word Father, when we say that word God, it has to have a ring of truth coming, not from just the words, but from the heart, from deep down inside. It has to have that sort of integrity. Because only then will we be in contact with God. Of course, we know our relationship with each other. He's the great God. I'm a speck of dust sitting on a speck of dust, sitting on a speck of dust in a galaxy, in the universe. That's it. And yet this God cares for me, and yet this God loves me, and this God amazingly listens to me. So what must I do? I guess I must listen to him as well. And that's probably an infinitely more important thing than him listening to me. You know what it is when you get your kids and you tell them things and you expect them to listen because you actually know best. Don't we, mums and dads? We know best. Don't look at me and smile like that, Reuben. Mums and dads, honestly, they do. And God's no different because he also knows best, but he really does know best. There's a subtle difference in relationship there. The living God is the creator of all things, and we have the right to talk with him and listen to his pearls of wisdom coming into our hearts. Just think about that for a moment. That we, ordinary human beings, failing so often, being pretty rubbish most of the time, sometimes we do really nice things, which is good, but most of the time we just swan along our own sweet way. But we can talk to Almighty God, who creates the entire universe, who knows us intimately, and who's given us life twice. Once when we're born, and once when we hit eternity. That's who we talk to. So when we come to be with God, prayer matters. Prayer's powerful. But don't expect to change God's mind. Expect God to change our minds. Expect God to change our hearts. And we've already sung that. Expect God to do a wonderful thing. It's kind of difficult to expect God. So often we pray within the power and the strength that we have. We pray for the things that we are pretty certain that we can achieve. No, prayer is not about confirming what we can achieve. Prayer is about confirming what God himself can achieve through us. And that's the other miracle. That God is actually not going to wave some magic wand as he could, not going to change the whole world just like that as he could. He is going to use us. And when I say us, I mean every single person with all the things that he has given us. So when we pray, we can expect an answer that God will move us to do something perhaps. He might move us to, sometimes, stay as we are. He might cause us understanding to be the person that we are at the moment with all those problems that we have, because that's the witness that he wants to pour out on other people. And that might be the change that he wreaks in us, that we accept the cup that's given to us. Just like Jesus accepted the cup that was given. Thank God that he did that. Thank God that he wasn't listened to in the sense of, please take it away. Because if the cup had been taken away, we wouldn't be here. Because there's no point. The cup was drunk. It was drunk full to death. And then resurrection. And then glory. And it's us who share in that wonderful and utterly glorious thing. Prayer matters. I've just looked at the clock, so we'll continue next week. It'll be slightly different, though. Let's briefly pray. Lord God, we look at the example of you praying. We see that you suffered. We see the anguish. We see the power of the prayer, and we see the result of that prayer, which is the salvation of the world. Lord God, we thank you that Jesus prayed that prayer, did that deed, went through with it, and suffered that suffering, and he did it for us. Help us to pray. Help us to link in and tap into the power of the heavenly realm. help us to be part of the message, which is a message of life, a message of hope, a message of glory and resurrection, and puts a smile on your face because Jesus Christ died for us and sets us free. Thank you that we pray to you, the living God. Amen.